Okay, welcome everyone to our May 19th, 2021 Trails Management Subcommittee meeting. We're still doing this by Zoom, and hopefully in the fall when we meet in September, we'll have a chance to meet in person, but I will always actually probably still include the Zoom for people who want to travel or don't want to travel or are away. So just to give that kind of convenience, we always want to keep the ecological effects in mind of traveling there. So so I am Kathleen Brundage. I am the program manager for conservation with the CVMS HTP. And with that, I'd like to go around the room and do some introductions. Richard, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm Richard Wood. I'm a hiker, troublemaker.
Gordon.
Gordon Fiddler from Friends of the Desert Mountains.
Blaine.
Blaine Carrion, county rep.
Gary.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Gary Gardner. I'm a city council member from the city of Desert Hot Springs and also vice chair of the Coachella Valley Mountains Conservancy, and I serve on the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission as well. I'm here just to give a little bit of a piece for Jim Karpiak, who couldn't make it here on the Blind Canyon Trail.
Thank you. Amy.
Hopefully you can hear me now.
Yes.
Okay, Amy with Bighorn Institute.
All right, Chelsea.
Hi there, my name is Chelsea Collins. I'm the newish natural resource specialist at the BLM Palm Springs South Coast Field Office.
Thank you for being here, Chelsea. Janice. There she is.
There. Janice McBride, I'm with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service here in Palm Springs.
Thank you for being here. Erin?
Hello, I'm Erin. I'm a wildlife biologist with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife based out of the Coachella Valley.
All right. Dr. Longshore.
Hi, I'm Kathy Longshore. I'm a wildlife biologist with the U.S. Geological Survey.
Kathy, are you calling in as well?
I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Dropping okay. off last time. I turned my speakers off, so hopefully that will work. But because I kept dropping off last time, I decided to call in and try and do the Zoom on the computer.
Okay, well, it's working really well when one or the other is on. So as long as your speakers are off, I think we won't get feedback.
Yeah, it seems to be okay now in this for my computer. Oh, boy.
Turn your microphone off for the Zoom.
Okay. I'm trying.
Okay. All right. And then I have Elaine.
Hello. I'm a hiker in Palm Springs.
Okay. And then I have one more number from 760-567.
Hi, this is Dan Kasang, outdoor recreation planner for the BLM Palm Springs South Coast Field Office.
Hi, Dan. Great to have you. Okay, glad so we have some. So does anybody have any announcements that they want to go through first? No. I know there was one announcement that. That there was actually a local assistance grant that was posted just the other day. And we might be looking at further funding for some of the Peninsular Bighorn Sheep studies and also possibly for restoration. And I just want to, Richard, do you want to talk a little bit about what your concern was about the invasive species that you're seeing?
Well, this has been an ongoing situation for years. Well, there's a lot of tamarisk in all these canyons, and Gordon's done a magnificent job with his crew, but there's still a lot left. And, you know, what I see in recent hikes is in the upper tributaries of Magnesia Canyon, somewhat below where it intersects the Art Smith Trail, there's a number of small tributary canyons. They've got tamarisk trees, and the main Magnesia has some pretty good sized trees there. Cactus Spring is a pretty outstanding area that's just covered. And that's about the only source of water, I think, anywhere near there. I've hiked that a lot of times from La Quinta, south end there, Buhoff, Guadalupe, Cactus Springs Trail into Pinyon, both ways. And there really, other than the Horse Thief Creek, there isn't much water there. And the Cactus Spring is quite a ways from Horse Thief Creek. It would really be nice to make that a spring again instead of a clump of tamarisk trees. But evidently, talking to Jennifer Prado, there's a lot of paperwork. You don't just go up there and do it. So the paperwork is as difficult as getting rid of the tamarisk. But I know Gordon's good at getting people together. I'm certainly willing to go up there and spend a day or more and taking a good whack at it.
Well, we've done, like I said, we did a couple years in Devil's Canyon, yeah, and in Cat Creek. And we tried to work down from the federal lands into the state lands, and we had, you know, two sources of funding for that. The Magnesia Canyon, that's state land. So we might be able to reach out to the land supervisor and see if there could be a crew put together for that in the fall. That's usually when we start to do cut and treat, Richard, for tamarisk. Go ahead.
They need to bring their chainsaw because there's some pretty good sized trees up there.
Yeah, we would like to use, unfortunately, if it's in wilderness, we can't use chainsaws. We would have to use hand saws, and we've done that quite a bit in wilderness. So that would be the alternative.
How about the electric chainsaws? They're pretty powerful. They don't make a lot of noise, and they'll call gasoline chainsaw. Are those permitted in the wilderness?
No.
Yeah, I don't think we're allowed to use any kind of mechanized anything out there. So,
albeit little handsaws, it's still possible to do, but it's just a matter of getting up there and doing it.
Right.
Unfortunately, all those tamarisks throw their seeds downstream, and they just keep repopulating as the water runs down during thunderstorms and whatever. So,
Kathleen, is it permissible to use garland four and just inject the trees? You don't have to saw them at all. Do you know?
Well, because it's in an aquatic area, we have permission to use imazapyr on the cut and treat. I would have to check on garland. So
check on garland, but don't look for a cut and treat. Look for an injection only, because then it shouldn't be an aquatic problem if you're injecting it. But garland will kill it. Will kill them pretty good. And it's about the only thing that really will kill them.
Does the state or the BLM have any, and do you have any information about garland 4, if that would be recommended?
Oh, well, I'm not going to speak for them, but I know it's recommended for it, because in Arizona and places, they're using it like crazy.
Yeah, it's about what's approved through the government to use. So
yeah, DPR, Department of Pesticide Regulations in California, has garland as an approved herbicide.
Okay.
Well, if that works, that's a great solution. If not, get the hand saws and we'll hike up there.
Yep.
Okay.
So thank you. I appreciate that. We are looking at possible funding for some restoration grants, and that water hole restoration is very important to us. So, I think that's a great suggestion. Okay. So any other announcements? Okay. We're going to move on to our, basically our working group updates, and I don't have Joan on here for dog enforcement. I did send it to her. Elaine, did you know if she was going to be on?
Yeah, I thought she was going to be on, but
okay.
Maybe the times got past her or something.
Maybe we should. Do you have any information on dog enforcement?
I called the city of Palm Springs because they're not doing anything to the people that are up there, and they've been called and they don't make it because the city only has two people to answer the calls. But anyways, this one girl called me back and she was great, and if you give them the driver's license of the, take a picture of the dogs up there and then the car plate, she's going to send them letters. So that should help too. But of course, right now it's gotten better because a lot of people are gone. But I think the dog signs is what's really helped, is placing those new signs up. And I've got to call into Patrick because we need more with the city. But what I was hoping to do is, last meeting, there was a woman there from the forestry department that talked about a class you can take in Arizona for 2 days. So that the problem is nobody, that Scott guy that's working for Janie, I guess, or somebody over there, the abuse he takes is horrible from these dog owners. And somebody needs to ticket these people. I mean, until they ticket them, they're going to keep doing it. And not one person has been ticketed. So she said there was a class, and I have two people that would volunteer to go to that class, but I don't have the information. Do you remember about that?
Yeah, it was, that was our arranger, Meg Devine with the BLM. She was talking about TJ taking the class to be able to cite on state and city lands, which is TJ's the ranger, the BLM ranger. So I'm not sure. I can get you her information, and
That would be great.
That out.
Actually, yes. Alicia with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is the one who mentioned the program that Elaine's talking about. Because she had done that, and I reached out to Alicia for Elaine, and I haven't heard back to get more information or to get her phone number to chat with her.
I can pull both of them into the conversation. I didn't realize it was Alicia who said it. So yeah. Okay.
That would be great, because and people, some of these rangers, the volunteer ranger like that, Scott, he really needs to at least take their name down, you know, so that he has something, because they're so abusive to him. I saw it. It's like awful. So, and there's so many, he's on the Mesquite side where there's so many sheep, you know.
Yeah.
That he's having a real tough time of it. So anyways, we need to get that would really help if we could get, I think I saw dog enforcement today. I couldn't believe it. Or the animal control up there. Of course, there's no hikers, but they were up there. So that's good.
Okay. I will, Meg was just on, and when we lost her, there she is again. So I will pull her and Alicia into the conversation and see if we can meet with TJ as well.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much.
So we will work on that as, you know, as the summer wears on. You know, we don't usually meet June through August because you guys are everywhere. So, we'll do our best to pull the working groups together and continue on these subjects that we've been working so hard on. So I thank you for your time on that, Elaine, and I appreciate it.
We just need some help with that. And also on the signage, who's the one that does the horses?
We have some horse signs, but usually it's the Desert Riders who work with the horse signs around here.
Because they ripped it off on the bottom of Garson there, and they're really coming down a lot. And they've ripped the sign down, so I need a couple more of those to place back up there.
Okay. Okay. I do have a couple more people that have joined the meeting. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves, Meg?
Hi, yeah, so sorry for joining late. I'm having internet issues, so don't mind me if I go in and out. My name's Meg. I'm the manager for the BLM at the Santa Rosa San Jacinto National Monument.
Jane.
Hi, sorry for being late. I'm Jane Rogers. I'm the Science and Resource Stewardship Coordinator for Joshua Tree National Park. And our superintendent's going to be vacant starting on Monday, so I'll be covering that for the summer if you need anything.
Thank you. Tori.
Hi, I am Tori Brewster. I'm the Civic Spark Fellow working with CVCC and CVAG on a few projects, namely for CVCC, the volunteer program that we've started this year, and it's great to be here with you all.
Thank you. Okay, I had Karen on here, but I lost her, so maybe she's going to pop back in, but Karen Jaffe is with the Friends of the Desert Mountains. Okay, so with that, I think if there's any other comments on dogs or concerns. We have a dog working group. So like I said, you're welcome to join that working group and discuss it over the summer if that's something you're really concerned about. So Dr. Longshore, did you want to give us a PBS and recreation update? Just a brief one.
Yeah, just briefly. So I added, well, we put, added some individual trails, models for sheep response to individual trails. And I'm finishing up that part writing. I have to say that I have to really apologize that it's taking such a long time. And one of the things that issues that we're having is there are three of us working on this project. And one of the team members has been having health problems. And it's really slowed down the report writing, but it's enough so that he's going to have to retire early. So we're trying to get this all done quickly before he retires, and I'm hoping to get it done by the end of the month. But we're just doing the final write up and cleaning everything up. So hopefully you'll get it by the beginning of June, but. It's just been much slower than we expected. And so the results are still interesting. But anyway, that's my update for right now.
So there's a report due and the working group for the PBS and recreation. We'll see those report as soon as it comes to me, it'll goes to you. And then we can discuss the results and talk about what our next steps are, what we need, what we found out, and what is going to happen next in terms of it's a preliminary study. So how do we expand the study? How do we tease out questions that we need to discuss more? Certainly, I know Janice and Amy and others are interested in trying to get down to the nitty gritty in terms of how can we use the study and understand the results and expand it, especially in the La Quinta area. I think that's where most of our callers went this year. So Aaron, I didn't miss you, Aaron as well. So I think there's some possibilities here where we could go several different directions, and definitely with any of our working groups for our species, we observe, we do a study, we come back and look at the results, we formulate more questions, and then we go out and look at more to be done. So it's not a be-all, end-all study as well. So is there any questions for Dr. Longshore while she's on? Like, the end of the month is what I'm hearing for the report.
Crossing my fingers.
This is Janice, and I don't have a particular question about the research. I just have a question about when is the next grant application opportunity where we could get more money to continue?
Great question. The local assistance grant was just released. We've had I've had some discussions with Dr. Longshore about using NDVI data for to understand some of the more interesting movement patterns that we're seeing on the, you know. And so I've spoken with CDFW last month, about possibly posting something like that, or even I think Section 6 funding will be available too, but I don't know. I haven't heard of the call on that, so.
I may have a potential source of funds for that, but don't get excited.
Okay.
You know, related to kind of an ancient project by now, and we still have mitigation funding from it that we could possibly use. But like I said, don't get excited.
Is that end of the year funding that we usually?
No, this is for a particular biological opinion.
Okay.
And actually there probably will not be any end of year funding.
Okay.
We've been discouraged about that already.
Have we heard anything about the Section 6 funding?
I have not.
No, okay.
I've got a question for Dr. Longshore. What about the raw data? Is that going to be published along with your report?
Say that again. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Oh, the raw data that using.
The raw data?
That you collect, yeah. Is that going to be published and made available as well?
Well, if you want. I mean, I wouldn't add it to the publication. What we usually do is put it in the database, have it reviewed so that, and it depends on, it's not my data necessarily, so it depends on what you guys want, but if you want the attributed data that we use for the models, we would definitely put that in Sciencebase, and that's the USGS database, and then anyone can have access to it, but it has to be okay with everybody.
Yeah, well, in full transparency, Dr. Longshore, that's exactly the way it should be done. It should be just full transparency, right?
As long as you guys are okay with us, because, you know, they're not our GPS locations, and normally that's what we do. So if you're fine with us putting out the locations, then absolutely. And we can, if you're worried about that, we can still have it open to, you know, people in the group, and so that you guys all have it, but however you'd like it. Generally, it's open to everyone.
Yeah, so that's a great question, because we've had the similar situation with the tortoises. So if there's a concern that we don't want to release points, then we can work with the working group and be able to release that data set here. But usually what USGS releases their data once reviewed and vetted to that database, and that's open for, because it's open for for analysis.
Yeah, and the difference obviously being that a tortoise isn't going to move that much. A bighorn sheep location is a little bit different.
Yeah, they don't, I mean, they have ranges, right? So they can be found in the similar situation. And those data are obscured on iNaturalist and other places for that reason, because they are protected species. But yeah, go ahead, Dr. Longshore. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I forgot what I was gonna say. I think I was agreeing with you about the movements for sure, but yeah, because it's a protected species, for eagles, golden eagles, we've had databases out where only certain groups were able to access that data who were working on eagles themselves, so that we wouldn't have issues with nest sites. So I think it's Fish and Wildlife who can let us know whether it's okay to let whoever has access to the data, they can decide. But definitely we'll put it up there. It's a huge data set. And anyway, you'll see. You'll see. Yep. But yeah, it's not our data set. So you can certainly you'll have access to it.
Right. Okay, great.
Well, in the Fish and Wildlife Service, we've had conflicting guidance as to what we can approve and can't. So I'm not going to say anything right now.
But Maybe well, you let, can let me, let me, let me in later.
I can look into it.
Oh, that would be great. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, well, let me help you out with it. If any of the data is released to any member of the public, then it's releasable to every member of the public. So
to everybody, yeah.
Yeah, so either you're going to not release it at all, or you're just going to let it open source and let people take a look at the data, which is the way it obviously should be done, because every land decision in this valley seems to come down to bighorn sheep. So obviously, members of the public should be able to see it.
Well, if it's okay with you, Janice, it's okay with me.
I'm not the decision maker here. I will find out.
Yeah. Well, if you, yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, and I will say that a certain number of those collars were paid for by CVCC, so specifically for this study. So it's not, it's not necessarily, it's a data situation that we were always expecting to release the data. So I would be happy to talk more about that and the working group, so we don't hold up the overall meeting, but you know, yeah.
Good idea.
Kathleen, I've got to jump, so I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, Blaine, stay in touch. Thank you.
So, Kathy, did you get that file that I sent you the other day over the weekend that with regards to the NDVI questions?
Yes, I got it. Yes.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. Thanks.
Thank you. And we can discuss that more in the working group, of course. I don't want to hold these guys up too much on the bighorn stuff, no, but
right. I just wanted to see if you'd gotten it or not, because sometimes things get rejected. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. Apparently, I had some issues getting this meeting out. I don't know if you guys got it last Friday, but some folks didn't because it had the link to the recording in it. So apparently it went to a lot of folks' junk folder. And I promise I won't do that again, I guess. So I'm not sure what's going on with Outlook sometimes. So, but you know, if you're expecting a meeting, it's usually posted. And like I said, as we come into our new, we're redesigning the MSHTP website, bringing it into the 21st century. So it'll look more like RCA's website for their MSHTP. And we hope to have all of these agendas up there for you, as well as the recordings. So, all right, any more questions for Dr. Longshore? Okay, then we can move on. Our next agenda topic is the Cathedral Cove Highway 111 trail planning. I just wanted to announce there is, as far as I can see, no one here from Cathedral City, but we have a new member from Cathedral City who is named by the Cathedral City City Council, and they are, it would be Rita Lamb, who actually sits with us on CVCC too, so she's really interested in trails and also doing Janice, I guess you could talk about it, but there's you know, some concern. I was out at the fence in Cathedral Cove the other day, May 1st, I think. And there's still strapping that fence up at the gate. And there seems to be no way for the bicyclists to get around the fence because up on the levee, it's an issue, but I think the connector that I'm talking about is not near the fence. It's over on the, I guess you'd call the north side or the northwest side of the cove. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there's an access trail to Dunn Road that bikers go up all the time.
Okay. On that side, right? Not on the side with
The other side, they don't have to go through the fence or, you know, stuff their bike under the flap. I don't think that works, but we will never solve that problem because as long as people can tie that flap up, they will do it. I mean, it's their own personal bump and grind up there. And there are people, lots of people who do that all the time. They're not going to stop.
What about the, so there's cuts in the fence too. And I remember a couple years ago, we were talking about trying to put a door in that fence.
That's what we always wanted. We just wanted to put like a self-closing door. And, you know, after Chris died, then I kind of took it up with Cathedral City, and I forget exactly who I talked to. I talked to two different people, and they were reluctant to put in a door for hikers because Rancho Mirage doesn't want people hiking up in their land, which is what those doors would lead to. So Rancho Mirage would not approve of putting hiker gates in. And plus, those are not authorized trails. They're social trails.
Right. They're just wash.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I was looking at the canyon just adjacent to the wash, and it looked pretty clean. There are some marks from bicyclists, and it looks like they crawl into that fence and then they do some mountain biking. But there are some social trails through there. Not terrible, but there is probably more concerning. We've seen a couple of different invasive species up there, including fountain grass and the Cape needlegrass. So that needs to be taken care of.
A lot of the houses here in Cathedral City Cove have got fountain grass planted in the yard.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. It's going to be our next project for not Tori, because she'll be graduating, moving on, but she's but our next land management fellow person will be able to hopefully do some outreach to both the nurseries and the residents. It's like, don't plant this stuff that we used to do a lot of, and now it doesn't seem like we do a lot of. So anyway, so I'm not going to belabor that too much, but just kind of keep it on your radar. They are talking about doing a connector trail on the northwest side of the cove. Okay, let's see. Our next topic would be the Blind Canyon Trail. And Commissioner Gardner, I can make you a co-host.
All right. Well, good afternoon. Thanks for that, Kathleen. 2-3 weeks ago, Jim Karpiak from the CVMC and myself and some friends from the Desert Mountains went out and did some trail scouting in the north end of Desert Hot Springs up in what we call here Blind Canyon. And we ended up with a loop trail. Let me get my screen shared here. Let's see here.
I made you a co-host, so it should work.
Yeah, so I don't know if y'all can see that. Can you see the trail map there? Is it showing?
No, we don't see your screen yet.
Okay, let me see what I need to do on this. I'm usually pretty good at this. There we go. Share screen. Share. There we go. I think you can see that now, right? You all see that?
Yes, I can see it.
There you go. Sorry about that.
Yes.
This is, I don't know how familiar you are with Desert Hot Springs. This is up at the top of Santa Cruz Road, where the trailhead will be. We used a geo tracker to show where we'd gone, and it's a loop trail. Can go either way around the loop, roughly about 3.5 miles long, and about a 750-foot elevation gain. It crosses Metropolitan Water District land right here in the purple, and then the yellow is BLM land, so we're not going through any private stuff. The city owns the trailhead area here. We're thinking that this would be a relatively easy trail to do. Here's some views from up there. This is looking west towards Mount San Gorgonio and over Big Morongo Canyon, Little Morongo Canyon. This is looking kind of southwest at Mount San Jacinto over the windmills. You can see some of the trail down there coming up through the hills. This is looking to the southeast over Desert Hot Springs. City's right there, and there's some more of the trail lands there. This is looking almost directly south over, again, Desert Hot Springs. You can see some of the trail that we came up. Then this is looking, again, southwest. The trail runs along this ridge here, comes up this road here and around, and then loops back down into the valley. And then we're looking again down. This is towards the lower end. The trail loops around this road, and it's a combination of a road and a trail. It's been there for some time, but we think that it will be a great addition to the city and to the trails. And Jim was very optimistic about funding. We think that it won't take a lot of money to do this one because it is so much of an existing trail, and the city's willing to help out with parking and the trailhead area and some things like that. So we're hoping to be able to get some funding and get this one up and running to complement the Long Canyon Trail that is under construction right now. And I think we have that further down on the agenda, but that's where we're at with that. Most of the folks going on the hike with us from Friends of the Desert Mountains had not been up there. Jim had not. I go up there quite a bit. It kind of takes off very close from my house, so we go up there quite a bit, and it's this rather spectacular trail. And I'm thinking this will be a great addition to the North Valley Trail catalog, if you will. Hopefully bring some people over from Palm Springs and elsewhere into Desert Hot Springs. So be happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Is that unofficially open for casual hiking, or is it closed?
Yeah, it is right now. We have a lot of people that go up there right now. It's wide open. You can just go up Santa Cruz Road where it ends, and there's plenty of parking there. There's a there's an access path that goes up the Metropolitan Water District road, that then the trails take off from there. And there's like five or six Metropolitan Water District hatches out there to access the Colorado River Aqueduct. So the lower end of it has quite a bit of access. The nice thing about it, this one in particular, and it's something I think not necessarily from a trails subcommittee perspective, but from a longer term perspective with the CVCC and our multi-species habitat area that we have in Desert Hot Springs. Rather than a post and cable block, we have guardrails there. And the guardrails keep the motorcycles and the ATVs and the trash dumpers out so much better than the post and cable fences do. So a little bit more expensive, but we are having such a trash problem and such a trespassing problem with off-road vehicles that I think we may need to look at using some more expensive barriers to keep people from out of there. So, but if you get out this way and you get lost or whatever, be sure to reach out. I'll point you if you need some help. It's kind of a spaghetti bowl up in there of mishmash of trails. And so once we get it marked and stuff, I think it'll really help up there.
Do you have a GPS of the trail you mapped out that we saw for downloading?
I can send you that PDF. I don't know if Jim created that PDF with the map on it. I did.
I'm talking about one you can load into a mapping program like a GPS.
Yeah, again, like I said, I don't know if Jim did that when we were on our
hike. Okay, well, that's good enough.
Yeah. See if we can do that.
Yeah, I think we can get you, we can get a KMZ of that for you.
Okay. Okay, that's fine.
Can you, could you show the map again?
Yeah. How's that? Did you see that, Jane?
Yeah, thank you. I didn't know if where the park boundary was, but I might be totally in another location on the planet.
The Sand to Snow Park boundary?
Yeah, is that?
That's right here where the BLM land takes off.
Okay.
This is, yeah, if you it kind of goes there and across right about through there is where it is. And there, BLM has gone in and marked the boundary of their land up there in quite a few number of spots. It's right above the where Metropolitan Water District's easement area ends.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, that's all. And this is all part of San Dusno. It goes over quite a bit to the other side over here. And then you'll run into the Joshua Tree boundary right at Long Canyon, which would be about right there.
So. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
This is Chelsea. So with the BLM, right now we currently have a restoration crew out at Blind Canyon because
we ran into them.
Awesome. So because we have no designated trail out there, I'll have to work with Dan to figure out what that process is, but if you could please send me that KMZ, because there's a chance we could be restoring that trail. So I don't want to redo work.
Kathleen, if you can make notes of that, because Jim's got all of that. I'm just kind of filling in for Jim today. So
and then a follow-up is I was out there on Monday and the guardrail is down along the road. Yes. And so we are having a lot more OHV activity. So is this the crew I need to talk to about getting that replaced? I was going to reach out to MWD.
I'm not sure. The city did not put it in. I can tell you that. So it must be MWD that put that in. But we were out in the desert in the Mojave Preserve all weekend, and I just got back into town yesterday, so I haven't been up there. But it was up last week, so it has to have been fairly recent that it just came down. Do you know exactly where it came down at?
It's just, you know where that burned car spot is?
Yeah.
It's just kind of from there up the hill.
Okay.
So well,
we get done with this, I've got to head out anyway. I'll drive through there and see and report it to our public works. But I'm pretty sure that that's a Metropolitan Water District one, because I know the city didn't put it in.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Would some boulders help through there as well?
We did boulders over at the top of West Drive.
Right,
And that's, I don't know if it's helpful, but what we end up with are people who tie chains to them with their 4x4s and pull them out of the way. So unless we're going to use building-sized boulders, it's really tough to keep people from going over there with the ones at the top of West Drive, so... And there isn't any trailhead access up there. So it's just more people taking off and going off-roading.
Yeah, exactly. So we've actually asked law enforcement to sit and do their reporting. Yeah.
Your CVCC and CVMC and the Desert Hot Springs Police signed a joint patrol agreement, and CVCC and CVMC are funding some police time there, and purchased an off-road vehicle that the department is using to chase down people up there too. So we have increased the patrols up there, as well as for all of the other multi-species habitat conserved land that's within the city. Because for those of you who aren't familiar, the CVCC and CVMC together are the largest landholder in the city limits of Desert Hot Springs. So there is quite a bit of CVCC, CVMC, multi-species habitat conserved land within our city boundaries. And so in order to prevent trash dumping and a few other things, we felt we needed some extra eyes and ears out there. And it seemed like the most cost-effective solution was for the Conservation Commission to contract with Desert Hot Springs PD to provide some resources and to go out there and do that. And I think that went into effect May 1st, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah, so.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any questions for Commissioner Garden?
Well, as long as I'm on here, do you, when you have Long Canyon a little bit further down, I can give you a little bit on that, and then I can, I'm going to have to log off because I've got a 2:30 coming up here, and we're at almost 2:20 right now, if that's okay with you, Kathleen.
Sure, I can move Long Canyon up. Yeah, I think, does anybody mind if we just talk about maintenance needs at Long Canyon? Okay.
So, I don't know, do you want to launch into that? I was just up there again last week. It's coming along nicely, but it's going to take a lot of educational and a lot of enforcement too, because people are so used to just going up there and shooting and dumping trash and all kinds of things. All of those wonderful new signs that we put up last year that say no shooting have all been shot out. So
yeah.
People are jerks. And, you know, one of the things I had approached Jim about is maybe down further where you turn off of the paved Long Canyon Road onto the dirt Long Canyon Road is we put up some very large warning signs that the area is patrolled by Desert Hot Springs police, that shooting and trash dumping are prohibited, that there are major fines for that, just some really big, you know, nasty black and white orange, warning signs down there. And then, you know, our RPD will start going out there. It's technically out of the city limits at that point, but our agreement with the commission allows us to go out there and do some enforcement. But, you know, the parking area is nice. Everything's kind of coming together nicely up there. It's just a matter of, as you can see, the trash and the targets and the people shooting out there that we've got to address. And, you know, one of the hopes is that once more people start going out there and using that trail, then the trash dumpers and the shooters will migrate elsewhere. Oh, there's already been quite a bit of good national coverage on that trail. There was a piece in Outdoor Magazine listing it as one of the top 10 new trails to try this year. There was a very big piece on it in the Desert Sun. There's been some other ones out there. So we do have people going out there and using it. I haven't gone the whole length yet. It's a bit, well, you know, obviously Long Canyon. It is rather long. It's a 12-mile run up to Joshua Tree from there. So, you know, unless you have another car up there or somebody to pick you up, it's a bit of a trek. But it's an absolutely stunning trail. And on one day I will do the whole thing. But the mayor and his family went out and did about 4 miles on it, and they loved it. And so I'm getting some good reports. And I do see a few cars parked up there from time to time, but I think once we get some signage, and we're working with both the Convention and Visitors Bureau board, which I sit on, as well as the CVCC and CVMC, about the signage directing people to there, like we did with Kim Nickel, and a few other things. And I think that'll really help with the trash dumping and the illegal shooting that is going on out there. But unfortunately, we're going to have to replace all those wonderful no shooting signs that are shot.
Yeah, that's pretty normal. Until we get regular law enforcement out there, it's going to be something that you see regularly. I am hoping to do a ride along with the Desert Hot Springs Police and show them a number of our different, I already took them on a tour, but the idea is to get them out there regularly so that folks don't know when they're going to show up. I'm not sure about the black and white signs down on the corner. How far does the BLM land go out there? I don't, Chelsea, are you here?
I don't know. And then some of that, I mean, the actual Long Canyon Road itself, the dirt road is Metropolitan Water District. You know, that's their.
Yes. So Metropolitan, I believe, and Kaysang, correct me if I'm wrong, but Metropolitan has a private easement, but a majority of that is BLM.
Yeah.
And so the field crew that is out at Long Canyon, or excuse me, at Blind Canyon, they have also submitted a grant, another restoration grant for 3 years. So please include me on what kind of planning you guys are doing out there, because I might have a crew that can come out and do signing and trash cleanup and incursion restoration. So please keep me updated on that one.
Is Doug still there now with the new administration and stuff?
Doug is gone. Megan, do you know our new field manager's name?
Timothy.
His name is Tim. I'm not sure his last name.
So he just started, and he's still remote. So he's still in Colorado. He hasn't come out here yet.
Got it. Because I worked with them and with Yehada from Forest Service on quite a few projects out here, and I'd like to get to know them as well. So if you folks would we'll return the favor, if you'll once he does get out here, set up a meeting. I'd love to sit down and just get to know them and show them some stuff out here in Desert Hot Springs and what we as a city want to do, because our city boundary does bump up against your boundary. So
definitely we will do that.
Okay. I don't know if you want to stay, if there's any more questions for Commissioner Gardner. If not, I'm going to actually jump over to the Prop 68 trail signage, because we are talking about the Long Canyon sign. So let me pull that up real quick.
I can stick around for about another 5 minutes on that too. So I'd like to see that. I think Kathleen too, that Jim and I worked with the Convention Visitors Bureau and their graphics and design people to come up with common trail signage that we can use throughout the valley of all of the trails. So I think that'll be a really exciting project, as well as having them produce a paper trail map, because one of the things that, in fact, the most requested item at the Desert Hot Springs City Hall front desk is a trail map.
Go ahead.
No, that was it.
So this group has actually put together a very good digital trails map that we've been, we are hosting on the new ArcGIS website. So we have an ArcGIS online portal, which will be part of that, and that you guys can pull from that. And also, it's helpful for whoever's working on their trail maps at the same time to see where those trails exist beyond the city borders, because a lot of times they get cut off by political borders. So the Long Canyon Route Trailhead Working Group, the Prop 68 Working Group, has come up with a very simple signage for Long Canyon in both English and Spanish. This isn't the final warning on this sign, but they tend to like the tan and the darker brown a little bit more than like the white and black, or to make this look a little bit different from the BLM signs, because we've had issues where people think they're on BLM land and that they can do whatever they want with BLM land and then don't realize that it's a preserve. So this is just a placeholder map. This is not what the final map will look like, but this is kind of the idea, is that we would have the Desert Hot Springs. It says emergency, but it's not emergency police number on there. And also our number to report, incursion or dumping in trash. But all of the information that we would see out at the Long Canyon Route Trailhead. This is very similar to the Kim Nickel Trailhead sign. We don't want to over sign things, but it would be nice to add some reminders on some carsonites as they're going up the trail too. So this has been vetted through, I guess, the park, as well as the CVMC group and all of the folks who had put this together. And Karen actually put together the final rendering here. And it would have this Coachella Valley Trails kind of icon down here, the international icons of what is allowed and what isn't allowed. and then some of the wording if they were going to stop and read it. So we want to make sure that we get as much information out in that 2 seconds that they're going to look at this, unless they actually stop and read it. So ideas to warn them that there is no outlet on Long Canyon. There's no water. Of course, the cell phone coverage stops at the trailhead. So it's not like you can, you know, once you get into wilderness up there in Joshua Tree. I will say that we did have a meeting right before COVID hit and our stay-at-home orders, where we had Joshua Tree law enforcement, BLM law enforcement, MWD was out there, I was out there, and CVMC were out there. And we were all looking at how can we stop the incursion into the wilderness through Long Canyon, because we're still getting quite a bit of motorcycles at least coming up through there. And and they've put massive boulders out at the entrance of the MWD property there. People still go around them. They put a whole line of boulders in the middle of that MWD property, I think before you even get to Joshua Tree Wilderness boundary, to try to stop them. And then there was a post and cable fence, an older post and cable fence that was put at the chokehold of the canyon, the choke point there. So that one's out, it's gone, it's been washed out or cut, but we still have people. I had 3 police cars out there with me, and there was a motorcyclist who went right past us, like, didn't even care. It's a little daunting when you have that kind of behavior where people see the signs, they don't care, and unless they get the law enforcement, they're just not going to change their behavior. And I agree with David Smith in this, is that, you know, you do have 33% who are going to respond to education, 33% who are going to respond, another 33% who are going to respond to proper engineering, whether that's barriers or post and cable or whatever. And then that last third is only going to respond to enforcement. So is there any questions on the signage? This is the Long Canyon Route trailhead, but this is similar to what most of the North Valley Trails signage is going to be for anything that we get put in.
I think it looks great, Kathleen. And, you know, it's one of, and the nice thing with Long Canyon is it's a pretty straight shot. You can't get too lost in it if you stick to the canyon. So you don't really need too much of a map, but you're right about the trash and the off-road things that's just going to take a lot of enforcement and a lot of education. And like I said, we were, one of the ideas I had was a big warning sign, right, when you turn off the paved part onto the dirt road, of, you know, this is the Long Canyon trailhead ahead. No off-road vehicles, no trash dumping, no shooting, patrolled by Desert Hot Springs police. Just some, you know, which will no doubt get shot out, but, you know, if we just a basic plywood kind of painted sign that like the construction people use for warning about dust, maybe have to just print up a bunch of those and just keep putting them up there for a while. So,
right. Yeah. And we put those up in metal. You know, if you put up a large sign that says caution, you know, trailhead ahead, no shooting, you know, that kind of stuff with the Desert Hot Springs Police Department number on it. You know, it's going to get
hard.
Yeah.
We'll start. All right, I have to jump off now. It's nice chatting with anybody. And as always, you can reach me via the Desert Hot Springs city webpage. That's got my cell phone and my email on it. And if there's ever anything from me out here, be sure to reach out.
Thank you. Bye, Commissioner. Okay. Any other questions or comments about the Prop 68 trail signage? We have, you know, we're going to start with Long Canyon, but we have a number of different trailheads that this will probably be applied to. And those are actually being worked through the CVMC, I'm sorry, Friends of the Desert Mountains and CVMC. So Gordon, did you have anything you wanted to say about this? You still on?
No, I think Gary's right. It's just it's going to be perseverance. So good signage and enforcement, and just chipping away at it a little bit at a time.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing my screen then. We have other maintenance and let's see. An update from the CVDRMCA grant. So I put that on here with the idea that Jim Karpiak would be able to be available. I could give you a small update. As far as I know, we're looking at trying to basically plug into the new Desert Recreation and Mountains Conservancy Authority, Conservation Authority, excuse me. And that would give us the ability to hire someone who would help with trails coordination and maintenance. And so that grant is probably gonna be reviewed by the CVDRMCA's board. I think it's next week or the week after, and kind of looking at what it's gonna take to get this position going and somebody who would be able to work with us full-time or at least part-time on getting things done, because a lot of our projects are pending because it takes so much coordination between the different land management agencies, as well as, you know, what we need for maintenance and safety signage. So I'm hoping to have more for you on that throughout the, well, in September for certain, and hopefully a couple of those signs will already be put in for the Prop 68, and then we can have that person on board. That's all I had for that. I think Elaine talked a bit about the North Licking Trail issues that I had heard about and the need for more signs for the dogs. Was there, somebody had asked me to put North Licking Trail in here for maintenance. No other suggestions? Okay, so yeah, I think the biggest consideration there is the dog issues and that enforcement issues that we discussed earlier. So I will try to get more signs out to the city and to Elaine, Jane. And then the city, yeah. Well, I will say that I sent them directly to Jane last time and they were able to be installed. So I gave some to Jane and some to the city, so. Okay, you guys are all so quiet. Kim Nickel Trail is a serious concern for me right now. We're trying to get a sheriff's department agreement up and running, very much like we just started with the Desert Hot Springs Police Department, so that we have more effective law enforcement in the area. It's being torn up pretty considerably coming in from the east and from the south. And I would be happy to work with BLM on trying to get some kind of enforcement slash, you know, if there's any kind of barriers we can put out there. They've trashed the area considerably. So Chelsea, if you're willing to sit down with me or whoever you would recommend, Dan, I don't know if there's any other grants that you can get for OHV use, but the Kim Nickel Trail area is like our worst offender right now.
Yeah, this is Dan. We did submit a G21 OHV grant submission that would allow us to install barriers both in the Coachella Valley and through kind of like the Mecacopia and Chuckwalla Bench area. So that could be a site that if we are awarded that funding, we could definitely put that on the top of the queue.
When are you going to hear back from that?
Our final submission is due next month, so we'd know if we're awarded next in like August or so, but we won't have the funding available until the next calendar year. Okay. So I'm happy to work on interim solutions in the meantime, but like if we're looking to have like a, you know, a large series of barriers that could actively work, because there's just so many different property boundaries out there. And so being limited to our property, it certainly would require kind of like a very creative, you know, minimization of where they are, or just like a pretty big project to really, you know, protect the whole area. So, yeah, that's why the grant would make it achievable.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that, Dan. It's just there's so many access points. We have them coming off of Sky Ridge Road, coming in from the east. We have them coming in from the south, and they do come in off of a private parcel right between the BLM and the CVCC land right there in the middle. And then, you know, kind of hit the ridge right there. But they've set up a full OHV park out there. And I have had multiple complaints from the residents out there that they want it stopped. So I guess they're leaving trash, they're having bonfires, they're causing anxiety issues for many of the residents. And I'm sure they're mostly local. And what I've heard from the sheriffs is that's a case where you have to just have a consistent law enforcement in the area. And I know Sheriff's Department does have OHVs that can go out there. So that's why we're starting that as an interim strategy. And then hopefully that will continue as we try to put up barriers. I wouldn't recommend putting up any barriers until we have regular law enforcement in the area, because we'll just lose them. okay, we talked about Long Canyon Trail and then Sky Valley Indio Hills. Again, Sky Ridge Road tends to be this issue that seems to be like there's an OHV club out there that tends to use that area, and they're going up behind folks' houses in Sky Valley Indio Hills areas. Out there at night, scaring people with horses, all kinds of things. So that's kind of feeds back into the Kim Nickel Trail stuff. So I'd be happy to work with you, Dan. I don't know if I should just keep contacting you and saying, did you get an award, or do you want to give me a ring if you hear about that funding?
No, I think it'd be good to talk about this, you know, before then, because I know we've had our recreation technician has been working on signing some of the kind of unauthorized uses in the Indio Hills area this past spring. So if there are any areas that we really need to kind of increase the signage on, that's something we can do quickly before his term ends. And then, yeah, following up with the enforcement and some of those other things, that would be good. So I know he spent a lot of time out there already. And so those signs, as we talked about, they only last so long. If that's something where we can just hit again and again, I'm happy to do that. And then, yeah, like I said, we can talk kind of about the long term, but we can hopefully try to identify some interim solutions, just because, yeah, the challenge with especially the BLM in this area is like there's already a lot of trespass going on by the time they get to BLM. And so just coordinating, being able for us to legally have the access to then go out and install the barriers is, it's just a process.
Sure. So I'd be happy to sit with you outside of the meeting and discuss that. I'll send you an email right after the meeting, Dan, and we can try to set up the time.
Perfect.
Okay. And that's basically all I had. Is there anything else that needs to be talked about that we didn't discuss in the meeting?
Let's thank Gordon for all the good work he's done getting rid of all the invasive species around here, year in and year out with his crew. Thanks.
Thank you, Gordon.
Oh, that's mostly you, Kathleen, and Jennifer Prado, actually.
Well, you help a lot with just everything and all this trails management, so we appreciate it for sure.
Yes, much appreciated.
And the trail improvement as well.
Yes.
Do you ever take a day off?
I'm off more than you think.
Well, thanks very much. It's very much appreciated.
Good seeing you, Richard.
Likewise.
Well, I'll see you guys again September 15th, and be looking for my emails for the working groups throughout. So I appreciate your time, everyone, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Have a good summer.
Good summer. Stay cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.